Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, here on a Thursday, and every Thursday at 9:30, you hear the music. We talked to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. We'll get him in just a second. He was there, and he dropped off, but we will call him in just a second and get him back on. But because I want to ask him about the frozen frenzy that we had the other night. It was really cool to sit and watch in the sports book in Vegas at the Superbook, and had a lot of fun at the Superbook. There at the Westgate, so appreciate them because they always do a great job there. But was watching all the games. They had it on the big screen, and I thought that was really cool to see. And then I ended up going to the Vegas Golden Knights game later that night because it was the last game of the evening. Now we say hello to Greg Wyshynski, who is on with us now. And, Greg, I was just talking about my experience with the Frozen Frenzy the other night. I was in Vegas at the Superbook, so I got to watch all the games on the giant screen. And then at the very last minute, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go see the Golden Knights. And so I went to the Golden Knights game and saw them come back from being down 2-1 to remain undefeated and beat the Flyers. But the frenzy was awesome.
Yeah, dude, it worked out better than we could have hoped insofar as not only the execution of it, because, you know, it's the first time anyone's really attempted to do this any NFL red zone type thing for hockey, and being able to have access to show overtimes and things like that was really cool. And, you know, but also I think the thing that really blew us away was the reaction to it. I mean, listen, hockey fans are inherently cynical. We don't always love new things and experimental stuff. And to see the reaction to the frenzy being as universally positive as it was, I think is really one of the more inspiring things about it. And you know, the numbers were good. The thing worked out, and I would be surprised if we don't do it again.
So I mentioned that I went and saw VGK live and in person. And one, if you've never been, and I know you probably have, but if people out there have never been to a Golden Knights game in Vegas, it's pretty cool. It's a cool atmosphere. I've noticed where they may have gotten a few ideas from, but that's a good hockey team. And I watched them like get shots on net, and they weren't going in, but they kept after it. They moved the puck fast. I mean, they were a really fast team. And you have a piece up right now, ironically, about the Flyers and, you know, their rebuild. The Flyers, I thought, played a good game. They played a game good enough to win, but Vegas just shows you that you got to play a full 60 against them. They tie it up in the third and then win it with 30 seconds left. There's a reason they're undefeated in the defending Stanley Cup champs.
There is. And before I get to them, the Flyers piece is an interesting one. It's a kind of about how a team that has constantly tried to sell their fans on the idea that they're going to win the Cup now has to try to sell a rebuild. And it's kind of an interesting look inside the team on their messaging and kind of like understanding the mistakes of the past as they try to like get fans excited about this version of the team. It's kind of a cool story. The Knights are scary because it looks like they figured out something about themselves defensively last season that they've really carried over into this season. I mean, obviously they played well enough defensively to win a Stanley Cup in front of Aiden Hill, which is quite an accomplishment. Yeah. But they've carried it over to this season. And you know, for a team that notoriously had a lot of dramatic turnover year over year because of the salary cap. I mean, they lost Riley Smith to the Penguins, and he was an original Knight and an important player for them, but by no means an irreplaceable player. And they re-signed Barbashev, who they picked up at the trade deadline to kind of fill in his role in the lineup. And so there's an incredible consistency year over year from Vegas in that roster that we don't normally see from them. So they're scary. I've been saying since the beginning of the year, the dumbest thing we all did as fans and media is default setting to not believing a team can repeat as champion. Like, we've seen two teams do it. I don't know why we all thought Vegas wouldn't do it, but so far they look like they could win the Cup again.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. So getting to the Predators, we saw two games where they outscored their opponents 9-2 with a 4-1 win over the Rangers, a 5-1 win over the Sharks, and then Tuesday night, they ran into Vancouver and can only put two goals up against them in the 3-2 loss. And, you know, I know they had a hard practice yesterday. Andrew Brunette is preaching consistency, and it doesn't seem like that it's there just yet. But what have you seen out of Nashville to this point?
Well, I caught them when they came to New York to play the Rangers. And, I, you know, we talked about the fact that Burnett had been with the Devils last year and you know, was an associate coach and really helped kind of shape their special teams, but also probably picked up a thing or two about the way that team plays. And the way they played against the Rangers was very reminiscent of the way the Devils played last year, like playing with speed, using all three zones, being responsible in your own defensive end while also trying to get up the ice as quickly as possible. It was very Devils of last season, and that's a team that, you know, won a playoff round and finished fifth in the NHL in offense. And I talked to Roman Josi about that after the game, and we talked about how, yeah, that, like, playing with pace and trying to win with speed while also sort of taking care of business with your own zone is the formula for this team. And when they execute it, they can beat anybody. They've got a lot of talent, and I think that Ranger game showed you exactly how effective it could be. But they're going to run up against teams like Vancouver that are playing pretty well and may be able to mitigate some of the things they're trying to do. But, it you know, the system that I've seen put in place and the execution of it so far gives me hope that they're going to be able to nail this thing and get on a roll at some point.
Talking hockey with Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.
Hey, Greg, you know, with Barry Trotz as general manager, Barry Trotz has told us over the years he loved going on the road because he could tell his team it's us against the world. After this game on Saturday, the Preds hit a five-game West Coast road trip. I know Andrew Burnett probably thinks the same way Barry Trotz does. Is this good for this young hockey team to go out there early on in the season to kind of fight against the world instead of just like two games here, one game there, two games there, off and on? What does this mean? What can this do for the hockey team?
Well, it's good because it comes at a good time in the schedule. Like, this is where you want a road trip to fall. You look at a team like Calgary, they played like one game at home, then they immediately went on the road for five games. That's too early. Like, you're still getting to know each other. Like, you're still getting your feet under you. A long road trip, especially if you're not playing great hockey early in the season, can certainly spiral things. So, you know, the Preds have gotten a few games. They've got a couple home games. Like, they've gotten their feet under them a little bit with a new coach. So, now to have a lengthy road trip where you might get some bonding time, I think it falls in a good place in the schedule for them.
You know, we've always talked to Predator hockey players when they take on Toronto, you know, now in the other conference, we face them once a year at home. And all the players like, you know what? Yeah, we know everybody back home is watching. Do you get that sentiment when you talk to hockey players that when Toronto comes to town, that the guys want to step it up just a little bit more because they know everybody's watching in Canada?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, that's always been the case. I mean, and also the Leafs are the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL in the sense that, like, they're the lightning rod, the team everybody cares about back home if you're Canadian. And to have a good game against Toronto is to know that, you know, people are going to pay attention to it. But also, if your team beats Toronto, you know it's going to make huge news back in Ontario. So that's always a game people have circled on the schedule, especially in the Western Conference when you only play them a couple times. It's mostly like for kids in Canada, it's playing Toronto and beating Toronto, and then it's playing in Montreal, because being in that city and playing in that arena at Bell Centre is still a very, very big deal to kids who grew up in Canada, because there is, although they've not been good for a while, like, there still is a huge mystique when it comes to Montreal and hockey.
I will tell you though, Greg, excuse me, it's weird seeing the Red Wings up at the top of the standings. When the Red Wings are good, is that great for hockey?
Yeah, you know, I sometimes hesitate to assign the it's good if Team X is good for hockey. But at the same time, like, there's no question that when you see certain teams rise up the standings, it has an impact. I mean, when Boston got good after that 2005 lockout, it really helped the league. Same thing with Chicago. Same thing with Pittsburgh. You know, like, there are certain franchises that have massive fan bases where the better they are, the better it's going to be for the league. And Detroit certainly falls into that category. And like you said, they've been so irrelevant for like the last several seasons that it's hard to really remember a time when, you know, they were one of the preeminent franchises in hockey. What's changed since then, obviously, is the fact that they're no longer in the Western Conference. And I still lament that. Like, I always thought having the Red Wings in the West was great, not only for the rivalries with teams like Nashville and Chicago and St. Louis, but also just to have a original six prestige franchise that you can have against a McDavid or against some of those Western Canadian teams. So the fact that they're playing well, they're scoring a ton of goals, and they're playing exciting hockey. It's good for the league because I think Detroit is a city that's an important franchise for the overall national success of the NHL.
He is Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, does a fantastic job. And yes, my friend, it was good in Vegas to be able to watch all the games and live the life. And people keep asking me, did I win anything while I was there? And they're nice enough to hold on to my money for me for next time when I come back. So that's how it goes sometimes.
But you said it though, like if you've got the ways and the means to go catch a game in Vegas, it really is an amazing experience. Not only like the way that they do their game ops and the environment and everything, but just like the simple fact that you walk out of the arena after the game and you're on the strip. I mean, like it truly is. Like if you got some boys and you're looking to burn through some money and go on a road trip and watch a hockey game in Vegas, you're going to do pretty well for yourself.
No doubt, for sure. Hey, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Anytime.
Thank you. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us every Thursday at 9:30. A lot of you still want to weigh in on Mike Vrabel and his pissiness from yesterday. We'll get back into that next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.